Is daf ches. So we got to around the 8 lines down from the top. The Gemara quotes from something we saw yesterday. Amar Mar, Yesh Yom Sheata Rabo, Yesh Yom Sheata Rabo. There's some days that you look and some days that you don't look at the Negatras. So my Mashma, how do you see this? Where's the implication of the Pasuk that says certain days you do, certain days you don't? Where's the Joshua? Amar Bai, Bai says, Imkein Lichtov Rachmana Bayom. My uvayom, what's the akshivav? Akshivav shmamina yesh yom she'ata rabo v'yesh yom she'iata rabo. There's some days that the kohen is supposed to look and some days the kohen isn't supposed to look, namely during regel and during shivas yimei mishta of the chasam. So that's the drasha of the akshivav. So then the Gemara says, Rava amar kula kra yiserehu. It's not an akshivav, it's an entire word. Dim kein lichto rachmano uveharos. My uvayom, the word vayom seems extra. Shmamina from the extra word uvayom, yesh yom she'ata rabo, yesh yom she'ata rabo. Then comes along Abai. Abai says, no, you can't use the word uvayom, the entire word, because the word vayom teaches me mibayla, it's needed, vayom velo b'layla, that the kohen is only able to look at the negatzaras during the daytime, but he's not now to look b'layla. V'rava, vayom velo b'layla minale. How does Rava know this drasha only vayom, but not b'layla? So nafkalei milachol mara einei hakohen. So whenever the kohen is able to see, he can only see during the daytime, he can't see during the nighttime. So that's the drasha that not balayla, which means that the entire word vayom is extra and becomes the drasha for vayom she'iata yeshbo yom she'atarabo v'yesh yom she'atarabo. So then Abai says no. Hahumi baile, the words lechol mara einei hakohen is coming to teach me a different drasha and it's not available for vayom v'lo balayla. What's a drasha it's teaching me from Einei HaKohen? Lemute suma be'achas me'enav. If a person's blind in one eye, if he's blind in both eyes, obviously he can't see anything. If he's blind in one eye, you would think he'd be able to paskin. Kamashman Einei HaKohen, you need a shnei einayim that could see. Rava nami mibarlei lahachi. So doesn't Rava also need to learn this drasha out to exclude a suma be'achas me'enav? Einei HaNami. You're right, Rava does use that drasha for that. So Ella, the question becomes, Bayom velo balayla minale nafka. Minale, how does Rava know then if the pasuk of lechol mareinei kohen is not available and the word Bayom is not available to Rava? So how does he know that the kohen can't look balayla? So the Gemara says, nafkale michanega nirli babayis. And it appears to me that there's a nega on the house. Li velo leori. To me, I could see without any help from any outside light because it's sunny out, it's a daytime. As opposed to, oh, if I need the flashlight, I need the fire, that doesn't work. You can't look at it belayla. Vabaye says, you can't use that drasha. Because Ime Hasim, if I use the word drasha of Nir Liba Bias, that you can't look belayla, so Ime Hasim Havamin, I would have thought, Hani Mili Tuma Delav De Gufe. Maybe that's only when it comes to a nega that's on the bias. It's not on a person's body, but it's on a bias. So we have a certain, you know, a kula that you don't look at Laila. About tuma de gufe, if there's tzaras in the person's body, which is much more serious, so maybe a filu lo renami, so maybe the kohen could give him a psak of becoming tamei, that he's tamei even belaila. Kamashmalan, no, you need the other pasuk to tell me bayom velo belaila that he cannot, the kohen cannot see during the nighttime. New Misha tells us that the old Amar Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir says, Melakit Adam Atzamos Aviv V'imo Mipnei Shesim Chihilo. We're going back to the halachas of Chol HaMoed. The person needs to be Melakit. If he has to gather bones, whatever crazy thing happened, gather the bones and bury the father or mother, that's permitted because it's a Simcha. Why is it Simcha? So Rashi says here halfway down, right on the Mishnah, Melakit Adam Atzmos Aviv V'imo Umolichen Lamakum Acher Lekorum Bekivros Avosam, to place them in the area where the rest of the family is buried. And it's a Simcha Hilo, says Rashi, Shekorum Bekivros Avosav V'lomet Star B'moed. It's actually considered a Simcha, and therefore it's permitted on Chol HaMoed to be Melakit Atzmos Aviv V'imo. So then the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yossi Omer that Avel Hulo, it's Avel Hulo rather, it's Avel, it's Avelus, this is a sad thing, it's mourning. Yes, it's nice, he's going back to his family, if you will, but in the end of the day, it's some level of Avelus, and one should not do this on Chol HaMoed. So then the Mishnah says, Lo Yorer Adam Al Mesa, a person shouldn't shouldn't bring up the history about a dead, like let's say Yortzeit Suda. It shouldn't be done prior to Chol HaMoed. Look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Lo ye'orer al meso, im meis lo meis chodesh o chodashim kod mahamoi. Let's say a relative died a month or 2 months before Chol HaMoed. So lo ya'arer, a person on Chol HaMoed shouldn't be ma'arer, and he quotes the Gemara here, kad hader saftana b'marava. They would request a professional eulogizer to come. Kolomar shelo yischar saftan lachzo akrovav. You shouldn't hire a saftan to go to the relatives and to the family. Bichu imi kol mari nefesh. Come cry with this bitter loss of a death that happened a month or two ago. That's what you shouldn't do. V'lo yispedenu kodem leregel shoshim yom. Also, what you shouldn't do is if there's a death that happened before Yom Tif, you shouldn't have any eulogies 30 days prior to Yom Tif. So that's the difference here. Okay. So the Gemara says, Raminu asks a question from a Braisa, Hamalakit Atmos of the Emo, a person who does gather the bones together of their parents. Hareza Misabelem, that day, even though the death may have taken place a few years ago, but then you want to go pick up the bones and bury them in one place, so that day becomes a day of Avelis. Hareza Misabel Aleim, the child mourns on their parent. Kolayom, that very day, but that evening ready, the Avelis is over. So there's a one day Avelis when one's Malakate, the Atzmos Aviv V'Imo. And Rav Chista adds, though Rav Chista, Tosis points out, we don't really need him, but we're just adding this anyways, Afilu Tzurin Lo Besadino. Even if they're not gathered, let's say it's nicely packaged, if you will, in some type of cloth, you don't need to gather them around, even that case is some level of Avelis. So if it's Avelis, according to everybody, so how then... How then is it going to be permitted? How could Rabbi Meir permit you to do this in Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara says, Amar Baye, Eima b'pnei shesimchas haregel alav. So he's explaining here that since it's there's such simcha in the regel, it's going to override the avelus from the malakate atzmos. So normally malakate atzmos of the ima would be de avelus, but when this happens on Chol HaMoed, the simcha of the regel again, overrides the Avelis and becomes a day of Simcha, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, the Avelis of Malakit Atmos actually beats out the Chol HaMoed Simcha and becomes a day of Avelis, so therefore a person should not do it on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara now says, Lo Ya'ari Al-Mesa, a person shouldn't try to try to get people to cry over a mesa that happened a couple of months ago. So asks the Gemara, my lo yar al mesa, what does this mean? Like I just said, Amarav, Rav said, kad hader, when a person would go after saftana, a eulogizer, b'marav amri, yavchun, in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, they would say, yavchun imi, cry with him, kol mar liba, all the bitterness of the heart. That's what the saftan would do. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kodem HaRegel Shloshim Yom. A person should not, if a mace happens, this is what we practice, if a death happens 30 days prior to Yom Tif, the person is no eulogy during the Levaya. So Mishnah Shloshim Yom. Why 30 days? It seems so arbitrary. So Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Maisa Ba'adam Echad, Shekines Maus La'alos L'Regel. One time a man gathered together all the funds he needed to take a trip to Ali L'Regel on Yom Tif. And Uba Saftan Vamar al Pesach Beso, a eulogizer came, he was fundraising here a little bit, and Minatalsan Minalasan Ishto Minasantalo, he was a very good fundraiser, so the wife was home and she entered the door and she took the money, that pouch that her husband was saving over for to take the trip to Eretz Yisrael, and gave it to the Saftan. Vinimna Vlo Alaboso Vlo Allah. And he ran out of money and he wasn't able to make it to Yerushalayim that year. So Boso Shah, that after this event, Amru, they said, Lo Yorir Al Meso, Lo Espitenu Kodum Regel, Shloshim Yom. So from there they made a din, a person shouldn't eulogize on Yom Tif, you shouldn't eulogize 3 days before Chol HaMoed, before Yom Tif, in order that this event should never happen again. That's all according to the Shita of Rav. But Shmuel, Amr Shmuel says differently. The reason why you don't have a hesped 30 days before Yom Tif is because Lufi, going on to Amud Beis now, Lufi she'ein ha-meis mishtakech min ha-leiv shloshim yom. A person doesn't forget a mace 30 days. So if you have a eulogy before Yom Tif, he's going to still be thinking about the Avelis on Chol HaMoed. It's going to take away from his Simchas Yom Tif. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's an afkamina between these two? Ika benai deka'avid bechinim. If you have a saftan who's willing to eulogize for free, so then there is no chashash of the guy losing his money to go to Eretz Yisrael. So then it would be permitted according to that reason. But if it's about because when you hear eulogy, you're not going to forget about the bitterness of that death, So then even if a eulogizer offers to eulogize for free, a person should still not do it 30 days prior to Yom Tov.
We do it, right?
We do not.
30 days?
Yeah. I believe 30 days. I believe. Let's see what it says here. I brought down halacha here.
I see the Aleph there, but...
I think the halacha is you're not supposed to. You can take a look. It's in Siman Tav Gimel, Siv Aleph. I think the halacha is you're not supposed to. Many times they'll say, we're not supposed to eulogize, but we're not eulogizing, or there's an exception, but you really shouldn't eulogize. I believe it's there. Of each of the Shlosh Regalim, I believe so. The new Mishnah says now, are we passing this way?
If someone dies in 30 days of the plague, he can be eulogized.
He can be.
He can be. Because the grief of the death is still fresh in heart, and a eulogy will not add to it.
Uh-huh.
That's a Rosh Hashanah of our
time. Okay. So look where the Tosafot writes on top here in Chesem Beis. He says, the Ka'avad Bechinam, he writes, near the halacha karav bi isura. We pass like rav when it comes to isurim. So this is the din of isur. Somewhat dine iser, we pass like rav because it's rav is like be iser and shmuel be dinim. So this is certainly not choshe mishpat halachas. So we pass like rav, which is the first opinion that he might lose the money. So then the Gemara says vafilu shmuel, even shmuel, the second opinion ye shlomar delo asri ella ayde safdana. He only prohibits this if it's a safdan that you're using. Aval atzmo shari, this is based on what the Shulchan Aruch says, the person himself is able to eulogize yoser misapek mitzaro ayde tzaka b'yismach l'achar zman. Because when a person himself, when one of the relatives eulogize, he's actually getting things off his chest more. It makes sense. That's what you're saying down there in the bottom. It actually, so only a relative is able to who's so uncomfortable, as opposed to some professional eulogizer would not be permitted 30 days prior.
Right. Yeah?
It wouldn't be affected by the eulogy. By the new Mishnah says on the top of Chesem Beis now, Ein Chofrin Kuchin Ukvaros B'moed. A person is not allowed to dig up Kuchin and Kvaros. Kuchin are the, what do they call them?
In the cave, right,
in the caves, the Rashi says it, in the caves where you bury the mace, and the Kvaros as well, could be in the ground or wherever it is. You can't build and prepare any types of Kvaros on Chol HaMoed. Aval Mechanchin is a Kuchin, you're allowed to adjust them. The Gemara is going to explain what Mechanchin means. It means to adjust them B'moed. And then the osin nivrechas b'moed. A person is allowed to make a pool on Chol HaMoed. So what's the need for the pool? Look over at Rashi. Rashi says nivrechas brecha shel kufsin les beitircha kolihai. You're allowed to dig a somewhat of a pit to have water and to do laundry on Chol HaMoed because it doesn't require much tircha. What's the obvious question here? No one knows the question. The question is, look at Tosos. Tosos writes towards the end of the narrow lines. Yeah, you don't do it. It's also to do the laundry in Chol HaMoed. So what in the world is there a hefta to build a laundry ditch to do laundry if you can't do laundry in Chol HaMoed? So that's Tosos' question. Tosos asks, Thibra Maschel v'yosin nivreches b'moed. Tema v'amai tarach b'moed v'alo ein mechabsin b'moed. You're not allowed to do laundry in Chol HaMoed, so why is there a hefta to build such a nivreches? So Yesh Lomar Toso says Litzarach Kol Osam Meshitiru Chachamim Lechabes Lekaman Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to see next week that there are a few people who have a heta to do laundry. So for those who have a heta to do laundry, they are allowed to build this nevreches b'chol hamoed. Others say Toso quotes Yesh Mefarshim Lirchot Etameis V'Tachrichin. We're not referring to doing laundry. We're referring to building a nevreches in order to wash the mace properly, because we're talking, that Mishnah is talking about a mace. So that's why you're allowed to dig a nevreches for laundry. The Mishnah continues to say now, v'osin nevreches b'moed v'aron im hamace b'chatzer. You're allowed to build an aron as long as the mace, the body, is in that same chatzer. Because people walk by and see you're building an aron, they're not going to know it's for the purpose of a mace. So as long as there's a dead body lying there, and you're building the aron right next to the dead body, it will be clear that you're building it for a tzarech of kvura. Then Rabbi Yehuda Oser, Elam Ken Yesh Imo Nisarim. he actually prohibited one to build an aron unless you already had the boards made before him. But to bring wood, fresh wood, and start carving and shaving it down to boards, that, he said, would actually be usur. Now, I don't know what he would do if you can't leave a mace for several days like that. So I don't know. It must be that they're available boards. So better to get the available boards and do the tirch of making them from some fresh lumber. But I imagine, I don't know, but I imagine if there's no other option, all the boards were taken, I would guess he would allow you to even build fresh ones, but I don't know for sure.
This is over here, the condition around it. A lot of mason are built with, buried without an
aron. There's no need for that. You could still bury it.
Right.
Okay, but let's say he lives in a place where it's not allowed, like in America. So then seemingly one would be able to build, I would imagine. Look at Tosas writes, Dibur Maschil v'aron im hames bechatzer. Arminim b'yushalmi amar Rabbi Mana hada damar b'meis shenim b'forsam. This whole restriction of building a aron when the mace is right next to the building is only in a place where it wasn't so public that somebody died. Aval b'meis shenim b'forsam, everyone knows about the death. Osin lo aron afil b'shuk. So then you could build a shuk because everybody knows that someone died. So there's no chashash there. Kehada de Rabbi Chanina chavrayu de Rabbanan de mach b'chol hamoed avdi le'aron b'shuka. Such a case happened in the Yushalmi. Tosas writes now personally. He writes, Nir Lididan, according to us who we live in Europe, Shiesh Kihilos Muatim, very interesting when they talk about their own personal experiences. He says, we live in a very small community, says Tosfos. Chashvinan lahu mefursam lachuli mesim. Whenever somebody dies, all 40 families know that there's a death, so that's considered mefursam, so you don't have to have the mace in the same chatzar as building the aron, and if you wanted, you could in theory build the aron out in the marketplace. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Aval mechanchin esa kuchin." I skipped. Sorry, my kuchin, v'my kvaros. So the Mishnah mentioned you're not allowed to make these things on Chol HaMoed. So Amar Rav Yehuda kuchin b'chafira v'kvaros b'binyan. Kuchin are making making the kvaros when with digging, and the kvaros are making them with binyan with stone. Tanin amihachi. The Brayser says, "Elu hein kuchin, elu hein kvaros. Kuchin b'chafira and kvaros b'binyan." But the Mishnah did say you're allowed to be mechanich a kuchen. What does mechanich kuchen mean? Keter mechanichin, how does one do a chinuch on kuchen? So Amar Rav Yehuda Shem haya aruch mekatzo. If it's too long, the kever, so then you could fill in some dirt. B'masnisatana marchbo marchbo. You could make it longer, you could make it wider. If the guy needs more space, less space, all it means is to adjust it. But to build, to dig a new one, that's prohibited. On Chol HaMoed. Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah of Osin Nivrechas. You're allowed to make that ditch for either laundry or for help for washing the mace. My Nivrechas. What does this mean? Amar of Yehuda Zu Bekia. Rashi doesn't tell us what Bekia is, but I think it's like a little pit of water.
A pond,
okay. So you make a little pond. So then the Gemara says, how could that be? V'hatanya, doesn't the Brayis say Nivrechas v'Bekir? The Brayis lists them as separate things. Nivrechas and Bekir, two independent things. Rabbi says, V'seim, others say Revkana, Gihi, Giha, Ubargia. One's a large one, one's a big one. Nivrechas is the big one, and Bekir is the small one. So Rashi explains here. I see Rashi says, Giha, Ubargia. Brecha gedola she'osin b'chatzer she'ir k'tsukah shofchim ba. The large body of water, the large pond, that's called the brecha. And the bekia is the bargia, which is a small one. The brecha katana shows in samach l'gdola. You make it next to it. K'tei she'ikantu amayim hayotzen min agdola l'katana she'imilei av nechsen. So one's a big one, one's a small one. They had a whole procedure how they did the water and the bathing of the mace or of the laundry. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Aron im mace b'chatzer. So if you want to build the Aron, the condition was that the mace has to be next to the Aron. So Tanina Laha de Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Osin kol tzorche mace. You could do all the needs for the mace on Chol HaMoed, which includes gozes in losaro, you could cut the hair, umechabsin lo ktuso, you could do laundry for the mace during Chol HaMoed, vosin lo aron, minasarim umnusarim ber of yamtif. And you could also make an aron so long as the boards were ready made, minusarim ready made from erev yamtif, like Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Af Mivin Etim Umenasin Betina Besoch Besa. Rabbi Shimon even allowed you to bring some lumber and to make it into some board and to build the aron so long as it's being done Betina. Okay. Tosas refers, doesn't really tell us what he asks, the question maybe some of you are wondering about. Look at Tosas, Dir Maschel Manasin Betzina. He says, V'asir b'farhesya. You can't do this b'farhesya. V'yesh li ten tam. You have to give some explanation here, which he doesn't tell us. Delo dami lahi, why it's not similar to the case in the Gemara and Shabbos. Dechol sh'asu chachamim mishim aris ayin. Afilu, what? What's the rest of the line? Afilu b'chadichadarim is asir. So I understand why this, he said, it's also to do this in Farhesya, because people are going to be choshish you that you're doing work on Chol HaMoed. So you're supposed to do a bit sinna, so nobody is choshish you. So how could it be, if it's a Maris Ayin issue, it should be also a Filu B'chadichadar. So he just says there's some explanation you have to give, but he doesn't give us what the explanation is. Okay. Gemara now, this is the new Mishnah tells us. A person is not allowed to get married to a woman on Chol HaMoed. Lo besulos, not if it's their first marriage. Lo amanos, not if she's a widow. Lo miyavim b'vnei shesimcha hilo. And you can't even do yibum with one sister-in-law if the brother died without any children, because it's a simcha. Who cares if it's simcha? So we'll see in the Gemara a few different reasons. Aval, what is permitted on Chol HaMoed is machzer hu eskushaso. A person could remarry their divorced wife. Just to be clear here, if a person gets divorced, so if that wife gets married to somebody else, and then she becomes single again, whether through death or whether through divorce, then it's usher to remarry that lady. Usher, that's called machzer gushaso. Oh, so that's an iser deraisa to remarry an ex-wife if she got married in between. But if the person got divorced and then remarried that lady, so then that's permitted so long as she didn't get married in between. So machzer gushaso, to marry one's own divorcee, is permitted during Chol HaMoed. And the reason is because there's not so much simcha, says Rashi. They know simcha kol kach. A person could do tachshit, and the Gemara will explain on Chol HaMoed, that's permitted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo siso mipneshin nivel hula. But a person, a woman, should not put on sid onto the body, even though it might cause her to look nicer after she takes all the sid off. The sid, what, some type of plaster or like limestone or something? You can't put it on because it's tsar for her. It's uncomfortable, it looks strange, it hurts her. So that's also on Chol HaMoed, because nivel hula looks disgusting. A regular guy who's not a professional tailor is allowed to sew things on Chol HaMoed in a regular way, because for him it's not going to look very professional. So that's okay. But Ha'uman, if a professional tailor, machlev, he has to do larger stitches, he has to do a shinoi of some sort. Umisargin es hamitos, the Gemara is going to explain what this means as well, something to do with weaving the beds. You used to have these ropes underneath holding the mattresses up, so you have to do some misargin. We'll wait till we get to that Gemara. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, mimaschin, you do another type of procedure, which again we'll wait to find out what that means. So now the Gemara asks, v'chi simchi lo mayhavi. So the Mishnah said something very strange, that since getting married is a simcha, you can't do that in Chol HaMoed. Why? You imagine you should do all the simcha you can. What do you want to do? It's simcha. Yantiv is all about simcha. So why is it prohibited? So the Gemara explains, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Amri la others say, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, L'fi she'ein ma'arvim simcha b'simcha. Because you're not allowed to mix two different simchas together, the simcha of the wedding with the simcha of Chol HaMoed. Look at Tosos here. Tosos writes, "Lefi she'ein ma'arvin simcha v'simcha, gzeres hakasev kididarish l'kaman mikra d'shlomo." We'll see later on in tomorrow's daf. It's based on a pasuk. Ubiushalmi says, "Darish midichsev malei shivua zos." So when it came to Yaakov marrying Rachel and Leah, or first Leah, then Rachel, he had to first wait till the Shev Brachos were over from Leah before he's allowed to marry Rachel. So Yushalmi says that's how we know Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, but the Bavli learns from a Joshua later on, from Shlomo HaMelech, as we'll see tomorrow, Mirta Hashem. And there are a lot of nafkaminas about Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, what the Joshua is based on. So according to the Yushalmi, that learned it from two Shev Brachos, from Yaakov marrying first Leah and then Rachel, I think the Ritva writes that the Isser only applies to very high level simchas, such as Simchas Regel and Simchas Chas and Nikala. But according to the other the Bavli tomorrow from Shlomo HaMelech, I think it's more expansive according to some Rishonim. Now, as you look further in Tosas, he writes, Vitam, what's the reason? So he just brought a Gzeres HaKasav, two psukim for the source. What's the reason behind it, why it's prohibited? Nira Ktsas says Tosos, he offers a little bit of a suggestion, to Kemo She'en Osin Mitzos Chavilos, just like you're not allowed to bundle up multiple mitzvahs, you're trying to kill two birds with one stone, you have to focus on one mitzvah at a time, not two different mitzvahs, and you can't lose focus. It's similar to what we mentioned Sunday morning, that person shouldn't work while he's davening or saying a bracha. We spoke on Sunday a little bit about a person up in the trees. Oh, you weren't here on this. Person up in the trees. So then, what? Okay, listen, okay. So, person was up in the trees, so he says he's allowed to stop working in order to bench or to daven or say Shema. So Beis Yosef asks, why not bench while he works? And why not say Shema while he works? So he learned from there, you're not allowed to do any work while you're learning and while you're davening. You have to, while you're davening, you shouldn't do any work. When you're saying a bracha, you shouldn't do work. You should have complete focus. So then they discuss, so what about, are you allowed to fold your talis during davening or during learning and different things like that? So this is the same idea. You have to have a complete focus on whatever's at hand. So even though you think maybe you're doing two mitzvahs at a time, so maybe that's a beginning. Maybe you could do to learn during davening. Maybe that's okay. Says this Tosfos and say the Achorim one's not allowed to because you have to have your focus. Shei Yehelibo Panoi Lemitzvah Achas at a time.
Is there any practical difference between Eilos and Mitzvahs Chavilos Chavilos and that Marvin Simcha Simcha? Is that?
I'm sure there are. It's two big sugis. You have to figure out if there are any differences. I'm sure there are.
Rav Shechter once, I heard Rav Shechter give a share of this. Not on this topic, but you speak of, he's very against people who wrap their tefillin during Aleinu.
Yeah, it's brought down in Mishnah Berurah, yeah.
He's very against it, and he said, don't say Aleinu. Wait till later to say Aleinu.
Yeah.
Because you can't count Aleinu, you can't have to go on Aleinu if you're sitting there wrapping tefillin.
Right. Okay, fine. Gemara says, so that's the first reason why you can't get married in a Chol HaMoed, because Ein Marvin Simcha b'simcha. So then the Gemara says another reason is Rabba bar Rav Huna Amar Mipnei Shemeniach Simchas Haregel Ve'Osek B'Simchas Ishto. Sounds very similar, but it's not. You're going to be ignoring Simchas Regel and you're going to be involved in the Simcha of an Ishto. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Had the Rabba bar Rav Huna the Ravu. This is a statement of Rav. D'Amar Rav Daniel bar Katina Amar Rav Minayin She Knows the Noshim B'Moed. How do you know you can't get married on Yom Tov? Shenemar v'simachta b'chagecha. B'chagecha v'lo b'yishtecha. So this is the second reasoning. Nothing to do with Ein Marvin Simcha b'simcha. The special gzeres hakalsa that you're not allowed to get. The only simcha you could have in Yom Tov is chagecha v'lo b'yishtecha. You can't get married in Chol HaMoed. So look at... we can skip that Tosfos. Fine, let's go weiter. Then the Gemara says, Ula Amar b'bnei atarech, because it's a major tircha, setting up a chasana. And we know that tircha is asr in Chol HaMoed. And Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar b'bnei bita peririvya, because it's going to take away from having children. How so? Look at Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud here. Mishum de bita peririvya, de'i shari nisun b'yamtif. If you're allowed to get married on Yamtif and on Chol HaMoed, no one's ever going to get married during the year because they're busy making a parnasa. They're going to who wants to take off a week of work? They'll wait till Yom Tif. And also they could combine their Yom Tif meal with their wedding meal, save some money there, and no one's going to get married three times a year. That's the only time people are going to get married, so it's going to detract from the mitzvah pura rivya. Fascinating Tosos on the bottom here. Last Tosos. This is what I wanted. Yeah. Tos writes here, Mipnei Bitil Pirur Arivya. He writes, Masnisin Hachi Perusha. Mipnei Shesimcha Ilo. Umishahe Osam Baratzan Adaregel Shesamech. Okay, we could skip those few lines here. Look down where it says Sudas Brismila. It's four lines up in this Tosfos. The Sudas Brismila. Mutter lasos b'chol hamoed. You're allowed to make a sudas bris milah on chol hamoed. Dileka simcha. There is no simcha at a bris milah. Kedamrinu per kama de ksubis. Delo mevarchinan she simcha b'ma'ono. The Gemara in Ksubis suggests we should say she simcha b'ma'ono at benching at a bris milah. But we paskin not to because mishum de islay tzar li yanuka. You've spoken before, yeah. So since it's tzar li yanuka, there is no simcha at a bris milah. And therefore, there's no simcha b'ma'ono, and therefore you're allowed to have a sudas bris milah on Chol HaMoed. Certainly the... That connects exactly. That also connects to that. Inami, alternatively, he says, no, the reason why there can be a sudas bris milah on Chol HaMoed is maybe, granted, let's say there is simcha at a bris milah. But kevin shizmanu kavua, since it's a set time, you have no choice, it's on the Yom HaShemini, ein levato zeh mipneze. You shouldn't get rid of the Sudas Bris Milah because of the Simchas Regel, and one would be allowed to. So these two days are arguing whether there's Simcha at a Bris Milah or not Simcha at a Bris Milah. Seth said because one Nafkamina is a, whether you say Shechianu at a Bris Milah. If it is Simcha, you would say Shechianu. If there is no Simcha, you would not. Another Nafkamina is, can an Avel attend a Sudas Bris Milah? If there is Simcha, he cannot. If there is no Simcha, there's room to say he can. So then Tosu says, Aval Sudas Pidyon HaBen Tzarech Iyin Im Mutal Asas B'mori. That he's not sure about. Okay.
Why is that the same as the Bris Milah has to be on the 31st day?
Ah, it says, Ein Lomer, don't say, very good, Hazmana Kavua. So it says, don't tell me all because it's a set time, the 31st day. Tinach Bezmana, that makes sense if it's the right time. But Shelo Bezmana, Heach Yeh Mutter. So it sounds like the Zmana is permitted, but the Shelo Bezmana maybe wouldn't be permitted. Okay, either way, he doesn't really give an answer there, but that's an interesting discussion. Should we stop here? Tomorrow's daf is long. What do you think? Let's, we don't have a minute anyways here. We have time to get to the yeshiva. Fine, so let's just do a little further then. Meisive, then we ask, all people we said that cannot get married on Moed, Mutar and Lisa Erev HaRegel. They are allowed to get married on Erev Regel. So Kashi Lakula, it's a question for all of them. And does Rashi go through each of them? No. All the reasons why you can't get married on Chol HaMoed, it's going to be problematic to get married even on Erev Yom Tov, because it's going to be Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, because Shav Brachos are going to be on Chol HaMoed, and you're going to be Osek B'Ishcha V'lo B'Chagecha, and people are going to wait to get married in Erev Yom Tov to save some Suda meals. All the different reasons, and the Tircha, it's all going to apply. So how can you say it's Mutter in Erev Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. The Man Damas Mishum Simcha, you can't Marvin Simcha B'Simcha, only Iker Simcha Chad Yomahu. Only the first day is the real simcha of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. The next 6 days is a low-level simcha, and that does not really impact Simchas Regel. L'man damar mishum tircha, yikir tircha chad yomu. No, the first day, the wedding is the yikir tircha. All the Shav Brachos are considered low-level tircha, and that's permitted on Chol HaMoed. L'man damar mishum bitul peruvya, l'chad yomu l'mashe inish nafshe. A person's not going to, Rashi says here, two lines down, kolomar kevin sheni yachal laschil el ber v'regel. So if you had the whole 7 days of Sukkot, so the whole 7 days, or 8 days of Sukkot, 7 days of Pesach, so a guy would wait till Yom Tov time. If it doesn't work out the first day, you sell the next day, the third day, or the fourth day to get married. But to say I can only get married on Erev Yom Tov, that day alone, no one's going to waste the whole year just for one day, because what happens if there's a snowstorm and you miss Erev Yom Tov? So then no one's going to wait that long, so therefore Erev Yom Tov is a day permitted to get married according to all of the opinions. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll continue.